You know, as I read the collect for today, it was quite interesting because it says, starts out, God who most wonderfully created and even more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature. I started thinking, well, how do I participate in that restoration process? You know, after my nearly 70 years, I have so much wisdom that I want to impart on everybody. But I think to myself, so many people don't want to receive that wisdom that I have to give. Some are nicer than others, and others are less nice than others. But, you know, you think about it. And maybe the approach isn't so much the wisdom that I have, because the only person that I can change is myself, but rather maybe the way I engage other people might need to be looked at a little bit differently than so often I approach it. Maybe I should be a little bit more involved with people rather than trying to import wisdom with other people. I say that because of the gospel that we have today. I love this gospel. I love this story. And let me unpack it for you a little bit. This is a story of when Jesus is 12 years old. Now, a pious Jew, a male, was by law, he had to go to celebrate the Passover. Prior to that, there was three festivals they had to, but when the diaspora took place, you know, and they'd been sent off to Babylon, they narrowed it down to where, you know, people, especially from the north, because it's about a 100-mile journey, they only had to go on Passover. So Mary didn't have to go. Mary just went to be with, you know, her husband, Joseph, and they all went down to Jerusalem. When they got to Jerusalem, they celebrated, you know, the Passover with them. And at the end of the time, it says very clearly that they took off. They left to go back to Nazareth. Nazareth is about 100 miles from Jerusalem, give or take. Now, literally, when you leave from Jerusalem, Jerusalem's above sea level is just a little bit less than 2,500 feet above sea level, and Nazareth is only about, you know, 870 feet above sea level. So literally, when they leave, they're going downhill, okay? Well, lo and behold, as they're going along, about a day's journey in, somehow Joseph and Mary finally get together. It's always believed that Mary, who the women a lot of the times went in front of the caravan and the men sort of lagged behind, that somehow they got together and realized that Jesus wasn't with them. They went and they checked from their relatives and their friends that were gathered together. It would not be unheard of. I mean, it wasn't something you called children and families on if a kid got, you know, sort of scattered with somebody else. But they realized Jesus wasn't in this caravan. So they travel back, literally uphill, to get back to Jerusalem. When they get there, they search for a full day. They search for a full day, and they can't find Jesus. Till finally they go into the temple, and there when they go into the temple, here is Jesus sitting with the scribes and all the teachers of the law. He's 12 years old, and he's sitting with them, and they're all amazed at his questions and his answers, his understanding. They're blown away by it. Somehow, this 12-year-old's really gifted in a way that is rare to see in Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting because a Jewish boy at 12 years old becomes a son of the law. That's what they become. So then, by then, they have to go to Jerusalem because they finally became of age. And here Jesus is in the temple. When Mary and Joseph see him in there, Mary's the one that right out of the gate, good old mom, she goes up and she says, "Child, why did you do this to us? Your father and I have searched for you in great anxiety." Jesus responds back really interestingly. He says, "Why were you searching for me? Why were you searching for me?" I don't think he was doing this out of disrespect. He just had an eagerness to learn. "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" Doesn't say about my father's business, by the way. Whoever changed that got it all wrong. But it's in my Father's house. You know, that's the first words we get out of Jesus recorded in Scripture. There's no other place where Jesus speaks prior to this. So the first really words out of his mouth that we have recorded are, I had to be in my Father's house. Up to that point, Joseph with his father. But now something took place that I believe in Jesus, he all of a sudden realized, wait a second, my Father really is my Father in heaven. It's so interesting to me, though, because you have Jesus who's sitting there, and it's almost like, well, Mary, Joseph, you know, why don't you? I mean, a 12-year-old would get. I mean, think about it. If you were 12 years old, I can remember when I was 12 years old, had I done that? Okay, even if it wasn't out of disobedience, even if it wasn't, I would have been, oh, man, mom and dad, they got me now. But it was like, no. Why are you searching for me? What do you think was going through Mary and Joseph's head? I mean, as a parent, what do you think was going through their minds? I mean, you got to put this in perspective. Jerusalem in those days was about 4/10 of a square mile. That's all. You know, New Smyrna Beach, with land, it's 37 square miles. With land and water in New Smyrna Beach is 44 square miles. This was only 4/10 of a square mile. So what was going through their minds as they searched for? I mean, what would a mom be thinking? Oh, my God, my son's been kidnapped. He's been sold into slavery. Oh, my God, he got thrown into the wrong people. There's weird people in Jerusalem. You know, this is like going to Key West. This is not good. You know, there's all kinds of things that could happen. But all of a sudden, they come in, and it says very clearly that mom and dad are in great anxiety, but Jesus is as calm as it all comes out. The interesting part for me is the next couple of lines, because at the end of the thing, and if you want to look at your scriptures, you can follow along. After that, what it says is that at that point he gets up and he says he goes with them down to Nazareth, and he's obedient to them. Obedient to them. And he grows in stature and in years, and in divine and human favor or grace. You see, what I really think that this scripture teaches me is something that I've got to learn from me today. And that is this, that instead of me looking at, why are you invading my privacy? Why are you coming into my schedule? Why is it that it's not going my way? That my job this year, to be real honest with you, I've kind of resolved, is that I'm going to have empathy for almost every person that I can meet. That instead of trying to impart my wisdom of the years, that I'm going to try and have empathy. Because somewhere when you have empathy for someone else, especially people who you don't agree with, somehow you learn more, not just about them, but learn more about yourself. Because you see, when you have empathy, which is very clearly the ability to share and understand the feelings of another, when you have empathy, they no longer become another. They aren't the other. They're part of you. And all of a sudden, you begin to grow. You know, most of us don't want to do that. I mean, I'll be up front with you. I mean, how many of you, and please do not raise your hand, how many of you only turn into the news that you like and agrees with you? How many of you only read what says what you want? How many of you get stuck in a position where, by God, I know I'm right, I know I'm right, I'm not listening to that other thing? You know, they're crooks. How many of you send out jokes over the internet from that? Where you don't listen to somebody else? Well, you know what? If that's the case, then you'll be just who you are next year, the same way as you are this year, and you'll probably be more miserable next year than you are this year, because the older you get, the more miserable you get. Unless you begin to be malleable and try and change by trying to learn. And that doesn't mean that necessarily your opinion will change, but what it means is your perspective on who you are will change. You will begin to enter into the transformation part. You see, I believe that Jesus did what he did by going back, which it says very clearly, Mary and Joseph did not understand. Look at your scripture. That's what it says. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't get what was going on. They knew Jesus was special. They knew Jesus was allegedly the Messiah, but Jesus had begun to start to embrace that Messiahship, and what he needed to do was become more of who he was supposed to be. And the development, we have no record of anything in the scriptures between 12 and 30. In those years, 18 years, a lot went on. And that 18 years was when he more and more embraced the real nature of who he was. Colic says real clearly, God who wonderfully created and more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature. And I wonder how many of us really participate in that process of transformation to the dignity of human nature. You know, I'll be up front with you. What I'm trying to do of empathizing is work. I mean, it's hard. You know, doing that, really listening to them, yeah, I want to straighten them out. I don't want to listen to them, you know. I want to get things the way, you know, we'll correct you. Don't deal with me. I got it all together. You know where I've really practiced? You're going to laugh at me for this. Where I practice is, try and empathize with your dog if you're walking your dog. You want to talk about not understanding, but trying to get into, in a sense, the mind of another being so that the other being isn't another, it's part of you. You know, I was walking my dog yesterday, and I'm walking down, started smelling this piece of grass. I'm like, what's so good about this grass? There's only so much you can get out of this grass, and you want to spend 5 minutes on this piece of grass, and then you don't even leave your own scent. What's up with that? And yet, as I waited patiently, something started happening in me. As I waited patiently and really tried to say, get out of myself, all of a sudden I could get out of myself so God could go into me, I think, and then start molding and shaping me. Most of us don't get out of ourselves. And what empathy does is it gets us out of ourselves. And it gives us an ability to really actually share and understand the feelings of another person. Isn't that what Jesus did with all of us? He didn't just do it with Mary and Joseph. It says he was obedient to them for the next 18 years, absolutely, until he was 30 years old. That's what we got. But how many of us really do that with others? How many of you seek out somebody that you disagree with just so you can say, how you doing? Please let me listen to how you're doing. Or how many of you, on the other hand, avoid, especially over the holidays, well, let me see if I can just call them when I'll get an answering machine. That way I don't really have to deal with them, but I did my duty. I'll raise my hand. I did that. But you see, I missed the opportunity to grow within myself. I missed the opportunity for God to mold and shape me a little bit more into what I, you know, am supposed to be from what I am right now. I miss what God is doing in my life when I do that. You see, I believe that if I try and empathize with all people who cross my path as best I can, that somehow at the end of this year, I'm going to be more joyful than I've ever been. I believe that I'll be more Christ-like than I've ever been. And I believe that I might not ever actually be like Jesus, although that's the goal of all Christians, to be like Jesus. Okay, I might not ever get to be like Jesus when he was 30 to 33, and I'm definitely not probably going to be like him when he's on the cross. But you know what? Maybe I do have a shot at being him like when he was 12. I'm about that maturity level anyway. I think you do too. You got a chance to be like him when he was 12. And so that even though he was surprised by Mary and Joseph, why are you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? My father's house. Mary called him a child. He was no longer a child. Something had taken place. I hope something takes place in you and me this year. I pray that it does. But you're going to have to participate in it. The Holy Spirit doesn't kick you into automatic transmission. But the Holy Spirit will work with you as you care for others. And you set aside yourself, because after all, Jesus says over and over again, you got to die to yourself. Well, just set aside yourself as you empathize with others and see what God will do with you this day. Next year, I pray that as we're here, that at least I'm 13 and you're 13 with me. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.